song that I have is a song of my heart.
Amen. Can you hear me, brother? You know, back, a couple years ago, you'd asked me to start joining brothers to start bringing a message and a Christmas message. And, you know, I've been thinking about that for the last couple, 3 months going into this season. And I knew the time was coming. And I kept praying, I kept praying, I kept seeking the Lord on, Lord, what is it that I can bring, Father, that would be fresh and new? Or what scripture is it that I could use, Father, that hasn't been used? And I never could come up on anything. Because every word in the Word of God is a Christmas message. Every word that we read on a day-to-day basis is a Christmas message. It's about how God loved us and how God gave us what I consider to be the greatest gift. But He did press upon me to read a scripture. And if you would, turn with me to the book of Luke in chapter 2. It's a scriptures we've read time and time and time again, but when I think of Christmas, I always think of this scripture here. Start in verse 8. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. You know, the presence of the Lord sometimes will make you greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people." Not to some people, but to all people. "For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men." Father, I thank You, Lord, for those words. Father, I thank You for that birth, that day, Father. Even though we celebrate that on the 25th of December, God, it doesn't matter what day it was. Father, we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. And Father, we thank You for His birth, God. And Father, what You've done through Him to show us. And God, as Father, I bring Your word this morning. Father, I ask God that, Father, let me speak the words that You would have me to speak today, God. Nothing that myself would speak, but God, what You would want me to speak. God, I give You the honor and the glory and the praise for everything that's going on around us in this church, Father. All the healings, all the magnificent signs that we see, the wonders that we see, God. Father, I just praise You for it, God. But Father, I know that You're more, God, than just one that gives. Father, You're the one that cares. You're the one, Father, that's always there for us when nobody else is there for us. And Father, we just claim that right now as Your children, God. And if there's anybody in this building right now that doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and personal Savior, today would be the day to ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart. Because I want to share with you a few things. Father, I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to talk first about the season. Okay? The season of Christmas. Everybody gets excited about Christmas. Amen? Come on, everybody gets excited except Hugh. He don't get excited. You excited? She's helping you get excited. I guarantee you, if you ask God to give you that excitement, He'll give you that excitement. Amen. Well, bless God. Then see? So it's still working. Amen. But everybody gets excited about Christmas. You know, it's time to put up the lights. It's time to put up the tree. It's time to get out all the decorations. It's time to do this. It's time to do that. And it's time, you know, to come into a season that's supposed to be special. But my question would be, why is it every day Christmas to us?
Amen.
Why is it every day that we take a breath on this earth Christmas to us? Why is not every day special? It should be. Because God made it possible for it to be special. You're special. Listen, there's not one person in here, okay, that is the same. And God doesn't love any one of us any better than He loves the other. We're all different. We all look different. I've looked different for the last year now. I keep changing, And I know I'll probably get uglier and uglier and uglier, but that's okay. Because I'm born that way. But that's all right. God still loves me. Amen? Think about your fingerprints. Nobody's got the same fingerprints. We're all special. God says that He knows us so special that He knows what? How many hairs we got on our head, except for a few of us. Amen? God said that He put, you know, hair on all of His. Some He made perfect and He didn't put them on. Amen? Not making fun of my brother. I love my brother. But the season of Christmas always brings out the joy in people. It's the season of giving. It's the season of receiving gifts and of giving of things and of wishing people well. You know, that's something that we as Christians should be doing every day. We should be hugging people's necks and saying, you know, hey, God loves you, I love you, and how are you today? But you know what? As a nation, we're getting cold. Because if you cut on that one-eyed monster, you can see every day how the world is coming against Christianity. Okay? They won't even call a Christmas tree a Christmas tree. They want to take a manger scene and move it. Atheists do, but they can't move it, so now they just want to put up on the building that God's a myth. Tell me this world ain't getting wicked, y'all. And I know my Bible tells me that in the end times, things are going to get wicked. More and more every day. But I don't want to bring the bad out. I want to bring the good out this morning. Amen? Because every person in here has something to be thankful for. I'm thankful that I have a family that loves me. I'm thankful I have a pastor that loves me, a church that loves me. I have people praying for me. I'm thankful that I have a roof over my head. I'm thankful that I have food to eat. I'm thankful that I have clothes to wear. And you know what? I wouldn't have any of that if it wasn't for God. Because God says, I shall supply all your need according to my riches and glory. So wait a minute. So God's doing it all anyway. Amen? Sister, your word was right on time this morning. It was right on time. God never intended on us to be the dumb sheep. He wants us to be the sons of God. He wants us to be the ones that go and tell a lost, dying world that there is hope. And that's what this season's all about. It's about for the whole world to see that there is hope. Okay? When you look in the carnal side of things, you say, well, at Christmas time, I hope I get this gift. Ooh, man, I'd love to have that tool, or I'd love to have this, or love to have that. I may get it, I may not get it. It doesn't matter. But on the spiritual side, I'm looking for some other kind of gifts. Amen? And that's the kind of gifts that we should be looking for every day. And that's the gift of life, eternal life, through Christ Jesus, that you'll get nowhere else. Amen? You could sum up this season by one scripture. John 3:16. God so loved the world that He gave. He gave a gift. The greatest gift of all, church. The greatest gift of all. His one and only Son. He gave to this world to be hung on a tree to show the whole world how much He truly loves us. Now, I want to share something with you. What you receive when you receive Jesus, okay? Ephesians 2:8 says, "For by the grace you have been saved through faith, not of your own selves. It is a gift of God." So see, God continually gives us gifts. Brother, you could give me a gift every day, and I would cherish that gift just probably more than anybody. But you know what? You're not able to give me a gift every day. But God is able to give us a gift every day. Every day that we live on this earth, in this earth suit, God is always giving us some kind of gift. He's either pulling us out of some kind of mess. He's making preparation for y'all to be selling that house. He's making preparation for your health to be better. He's making preparations for everything that goes on in this world. He's making preparations for your trip. He's making preparations for the trip I'm fixing to take. Everything that God does, He does it for His children because He loves us. Not because He has to. God don't have to do anything. Amen. He's done all He's going to do. Amen. When God created us in His own image. That's what the Word says. That's what I read in the Word. It said, let us, who is with Him? Who is with Him? Man, Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Bless God. Let us create man in our own image. He meant women too. By the way, Christmas gifts are always special because they're what? They're wrapped up. You don't know what they are. They're always a secret. Amen? Let me share something with you about this little church. You never know what kind of gift's going to come out in this church every Sunday you come into this church. Because God is always right on time. He's right on time with His Word. He's right on time with everything that He's doing in this church. I have never been to any other church that I've seen God move in the way that He does. He can even tell a sister that a brother stinks and he needs to get it straight. Sister, I'm bringing glory to God for that. You know, because we have a church family that loves one another, that we can be honest with each other. We don't have to pretend. Amen. I don't pretend. I don't pretend with people. I don't pretend when I tell you I love you. I mean I love you. I pray for you. That's what Christmas is about. Christmas is about all year long. Amen. So I'm bringing you a Christmas message today. But I want to talk just a little bit about some of the gifts that God made for you and gave you. First of all, He gave you the greatest gift of all. That was Jesus. Amen? And when Jesus was crucified for you and I, that brought upon salvation. You can't go out to the store. You can't go up here to Walmart. You can't go to H.H. Gregg or any of the other stores to buy things. You can't buy salvation no matter what you do. It's a free gift given to you by God Almighty through the shed blood of His Son that He allowed to come and become flesh in this world and to teach us and to die on a cross for our sins. To be brought from the throne room of God down to a sinful world. Man, you're talking about love. I can't even comprehend that kind of love. He gave us everlasting life. Now, I know every person probably in this room at one time or another has either seen a loved one pass on, or recently had one pass on, or a close friend has passed on. But you know what? You wonder, were they saved? I always think about people when they pass on, where they were with God. Did they know God? Did they truly know God, or did they just say they did? Because when I read the Word says that there'll be many that shall say that I knew you. And He said, I never knew you. Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. Wow. How well do you know the Father? How well do you know the gifts that you have at your fingertips? How well do you know what God has truly done for you? You know, it's like God's shaking us now and saying, wake up, church. Wake up. The time is now. It's getting close. Look at the world events. Look at what goes on in this world. I'm only 55 years old, but I've seen a lot of changes in those 55 years. A lot of changes. So we better get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready. Amen? We on the 20-yard line, brother. We ready to go on in for the touchdown. Amen? Bless God. I'm ready. Next thing He gave us was knowledge. Knowledge. But how do we get knowledge? By reading and studying His Word. You know, the Bible tells me that His people are utterly destroyed because of the lack of knowledge. They don't have the knowledge. Now, if you don't have knowledge how to fight the enemy or how to receive from the Lord, guess what? You might as well just be sitting like a car in idle. You're not moving forward or backwards. You're just sitting in idle. But when you engage, okay, and you push that clutch in or you put it in drive and you start going forward, okay? Then you start going forward in the Lord and you start studying His Word. God's going to bring you to another place because He's taken me from place to place to place to place to place, and it's constantly changing for me because what I used to didn't know, I know now. And what I don't know today, I hopefully will know tomorrow. Because I'm constantly wanting to learn what God has done for me. I want to know my Heavenly Father. I knew my earthly dad. I knew what kind of person he was. I want to know what my Heavenly Father is going to be like. I want to see Him when I get to heaven. I want to spend time with Him. Glory to God. But I want to know more about Him on this earth. Because you know what? It's on this earth is where God's going to use you the most. Because God says when we go out there as a people and we preach the gospel or tell someone about the gospel of Jesus Christ, guess what? It might be the last person you talk to, might be the last person that needs to be saved before Jesus steps out on that cloud. Bless God. We need to start witnessing for God and telling people what God's done for us. Hallelujah. Didn't sound like no Christmas message to me yet. But I'm getting there. But He also gives you wisdom. You know what? Let me tell you something. There's been many a time when God has told me to back off somebody. You could be witnessing to somebody and God will say, back off. You planted a seed. Because if you keep pushing, you're going to push them away. You know? I remember one night before my younger brother got saved, you know, I'd always be down at mom and daddy's house and I hadn't been saved that long. And you know, when you first become a Christian, boy, you just on fire. You got to get everybody saved right now. They ain't no time to wait. They got to get saved. And if you love them so much, you're going to go after them. Amen. I went after my younger brother, and I remember that night he come through that door, and he seen me sitting on that couch, and he was like, oh. I said, Bobby, can I talk to you a minute? Man, now ain't the time. Now ain't the time. I said, brother, it is the time. No, man, I ain't in the frame of mind to talk to you about this. I said, well, we need to talk about it. God spoke to me at that time to back off. Because you know what? It was a couple weeks later he got saved. Amen. Just because I wanted to share the gift of Christmas. I wanted to share Jesus. Amen. Amen. He also says, Jesus says, it's expedient that I go away. But if I go away, I'll send what? A comforter. A comforter. One that will teach you in all things. One that will comfort you when you need to be comforted. One that will show you right from wrong. Because as a natural person, we know right from wrong. We know right from wrong. We know when we've done wrong because the first thing we'll do is say, Lord, forgive me. That is, if you're trying to walk in the fullness of what God wants for you. Because it's about sacrificing yourself to allow Him to live His life through you. Does that make sense? God wants to live His life through you. He wants you to be an epistle, okay, that's read by all men. What kind of epistle are you? What kind of letter are you? What kind of book are you? What is the world reading about you? Are you part of the world or not? Are you part of God's family or not? It's plain and simple. He sent a child, okay? It's just like the scripture I read, you know? A child, a baby. So he started off an infant. An infant. You know, another thing that God gives you, He says you'll never thirst again. Think about the woman, the Samaritan woman at the well. He says, if you drink of that well, you're going to thirst again. But if you drink of living water, you'll never thirst again. Amen. Let me tell you something. I don't get thirsty like I used to. Because when I get thirsty, I go to the Word and I get my drink. And if you ain't drinking of the Word, guess what? You're missing something. Amen. You're missing something. Because you know what? There might be just a little bit of life in that Word and in that drink that He gives you. When you're parched and you cannot feel like you could either go any further and you need a drink. You know, man can't live without water. You know, we can fast, you know, and do without food. We got to have water. We got to have water. So He gives us the gift of never being thirsty again. Now, I've just named off a few gifts. Another gift He gives us is what? His Word. His promises. Amen? He also gives us the gift of choice. Come on. Talk to me about choice just a minute. I want to talk about choice. Now I've got me some little bitty notes right here. But God always gives you a choice. Amen. He gives you a choice to whether you want to accept Jesus Christ or not. That was the first major choice. He gives you a choice whether you want to study His Word or you don't want to study His Word. Whether you want to read His Word or not. God gives you a choice whether you want to fellowship with Him every day or you want to fellowship with Him once in a while. He'll allow you to do that. But let me tell you something. You're missing out on all the gifts if you ain't fellowshipping with Him every day. Amen? You got to be fellowshipping with God every day. Let me tell you something. There ain't a day goes by I don't speak with my God. My Heavenly Father. I call Him Daddy. I don't say, Heavenly Father, Lord, thank You again for another day. I say, Daddy, thank You, Lord, I'm alive. And God, I'm fixing to go into work and I'm fixing to face this or that. And God, I want to be a witness for You. I want to be a testimony for You, God. Let me say something that might be encouraging today to somebody else. Use me as one of Your gifts. Because you know what? We were a gift. Every person in this church is a gift to me. Because you never know sometimes, brother, what you might be saying to me may be exactly what I need to hear. Exactly what I need to hear. It may be, I may not want to accept that at that time, but if I'm walking with God, God will reveal it to me and He'll show it to me. Amen? Ain't so much controversy over Christmas trees, brother, I get sick of it. You know, there's scripture in there talks about, in the Old Testament, talks about you ain't supposed to bring a tree in and all that stuff. You read that scripture? It's in there. It talks about paganism and how the pagans are going to bring in trees. They'll put them on stands and all that. It's in there. Right now, it just come to me. God just brought that to me. But it's in the Word, and I will find it, and I will show you, and I will give it to you. But you know what? I got to sitting there last night after we left here last night. By the way, I had a great time last night. I seen a bunch of thieves last night. And I hope every one of y'all repented when you left. Amen? But I want you to think about this. Christmas tree. Of course, we understand where the first word Christmas derives from. Christ, okay? M-A-S, okay? I got to looking at that word last night. God says, Christ, Master, and Savior. Christmas. Master and Savior. Okay? He's the Savior of the world, y'all. That's what the scripture I just read to you, he said. He's Savior of the world. He's not just a Savior for the United States of America. He's a Savior of the world. To people that's in places that you and I probably have never even seen or even heard of, he's their Savior also. Amen? I tried to put something with tree, but I never could come up other than a treasure received, and I couldn't come up with the E&E, but I just, you know, eventually it'll come. I guess it wasn't meant to come. But let's talk about the tree just a minute. In the flesh, we bring that tree into the house. We put it on a stand. We make place in our house. We disrupt the whole inside of our house just to put that Christmas tree in there. Amen? Come on now. Y'all with me? Huh? We bring it in there. And then we put all these utensils on it and all these globes and all these bulbs and all this fine garnish and all this stuff. And we make that thing with lights. And it's so beautiful. Ain't a Christmas tree beautiful? I'm going to tell you something. There's been many a night I've sat in my living room and just looked at a tree in just amazement. And then a few years back, God began to show me something about those trees. You know, normally we put something up on top of a tree. We top a tree with something. Normally it's an angel or it's a star. Well, you know what? The star is the Star of David. And we all know what angels are. So see, that tree is still representing Christ. Okay? Now I want you to look at that just a minute. Get this picture in your head. Okay? All decorated up and looking wonderful. Okay? To me, that's what I see in God. He's got everything, y'all. He owns it all. He has everything. But it's got green. It's green for life. It's got the lights to light up. You know, I recall in the Word where the Bible says that Jesus was bright as a light. Come on. Come on. Bright as a light. And He's pure as gold. Do we not put gold tinsel on our trees and silver tinsel on our trees and all those things? All those things represent things. And people don't even realize they're doing it. But if you get in that Christ-like mind, you'll start looking for Christ in everything. You really will. You know? So let me tell you something. I don't have a problem with a Christmas tree in my house. And that was in the Old Testament. By the way, I live under grace, not under law. Amen? All the different colors of the lights. You know what God showed me with that? The rainbow. He made a promise that He would never flood the world again, as He did when Noah's time. So I think when I see all that pretty colors, I think of the promises of God. Get in that frame of mind. If you'll get in that frame of mind, you'll get out of that bah humbug. Okay? I ain't preaching to you, brother. Listen, if I point a finger at you, I'm pointing three back at me, brother. Because listen, God's already brought me under conviction already. He says, son, you need to go get a tree today. But seriously, think about that just a moment. The beautiful colors represent a rainbow. And I ain't talking about a rainbow coalition, because that is an abomination to God. And I won't go nowhere else. But you know, it has to have, that tree has to have a stand to hold it up. And what do we put in that stand? Water. And if we didn't put in water, what would happen to that green tree? It what? Well, you know what? That stand has to hold that tree up. I remember in the Word says, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. Well, He was lifted up all right. He was lifted up. And guess what? He was lifted up on what? A tree. Man. Starting to sound like a Christmas message now. But you know what? It's just like the Samaritan woman. She had to have a drink. We all need a drink. When's the last time you've been to the well? When's the last time that you got a good drink? I ain't talking about a sip. I'm saying a drink. You know, I sit around my house. My wife can testify to this. I sit around my house when I'm sitting there, and I've always got a big cup of water. I drink more water probably than you can shake a stick at. I just like the taste of water. And water ain't supposed to have a taste, but to me it does have a taste. You know? Especially if it's good. Now, we used to have a well up in North Georgia. I loved that water. That was good water. That was good water. That water here, after it comes through a few filters, it's okay. But it's good. But ain't nothing no better on a hot day than a cool drink of water. Amen? Ain't nothing no more refreshing than a cool drink of water. All the Coca-Cola in the world would never take the place of a cool drink of water. And you know what? Jesus Christ is the living water. Come on, get a drink. Take a drink. Take a drink. Take a drink. Get a big cup full. He made it there for you. He gave it for you. Jesus is the reason for the season. Amen. How many of us know people that have come to people after they've been born again and said, hey man, you still going to church? You still saved? Have you anybody ever had been approached like that? Once you started going to work and telling everybody you got saved, and you know, and 2 or 3 years later, you don't see them, and then all of a sudden you see them again, they say, hey man, you still going to church? Why is it that the assumption is that you're going to quit, when it should be the assumption that you're going to grow? Amen? Like a tree. Now, when you want to talk about trees, you got to go back to Genesis. You got to go back to the Garden of Eden. And God said that, Adam, you could partake of any tree, but the tree of what? Good knowledge and evil. Knowledge, good and evil. He partook of that fruit. But you know what? Trees are a lot to us. Look around you. How many trees you think it took to build this building? How many trees do you think that it takes to build every home that's out there that God provides shelter? Listen, think about the birds, as it talks about in Matthew. What do they build their houses out of? Sticks and tree limbs, all that kind of stuff. See, trees are great for everything, you know. You can give a tree as a present. You know, one of your little potted trees, you can give it as a present. And guess what? You can plant it in the ground, and it'll be a tree that'll grow up, you know, if it's watered and taken care of and pruned real good. Well, you know what? That's what God kind of does with us. He plants us. He waters us. He prunes us. And we continue to grow up until we become this magnificent tree that God wants us to be. Strong. Not like a pine tree, but like was said, I think it was last week, brother, that tap root that goes way, way down. Or sister, I might have been you. But that tap root that goes way, way, way down. But the greatest gift of all besides Jesus Christ was the gift of love. I want you to look at the person next to you and tell them how much you really love them. Look at the person next to you and say how much you really love them. Tell them. When's the last time you told someone that you really love them? I ain't talking about lip service love. Let me share something with you. I know about lip service love. Okay? I've been in those kind of churches where people say they love you just because that's what they want to say. There is no meaning behind it. None. Oh, I love you, brother. Brother, I love you. I'll do anything for you. But you know what? When it comes that time of need, where is that person? I'm talking about true love. God is true love. He will always be there. Always will be there. No matter what. Amen? Turn with me right quick. I want to talk to you about love. And we use this scripture so many times during weddings. During weddings. But if we really, really, really understood what the word was saying here, I think it would take on a whole different meaning for lots and lots of people. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preach to you." Y'all hear that? "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel I preach to you." I preach to you this morning the gospel. Christ, Him crucified, and the resurrection. Amen? "Which also you received, in which you stand, by which you also you are saved. If you hold fast that word that I preached to you, unless you believe in vain. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that He is seen by Cephas, then by the 12. After that, He was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remains to be present, but some have fallen asleep. After that, He was seen by James, then by all the apostles. Then last of all, He was seen by me also, as by one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, who am not worthy to be called an apostle, but I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and His grace toward me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it be I or they, so we preach, and so you believe. Now, if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty and your faith is also empty. Yes, and we are found false witnesses of God because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up. In the fact, the dead do not rise. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in sin. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished in the life only. We have hope in Christ. We have what in Christ? Hope. We are all men the most pitiable. But now Christ is even from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came resurrection of the dead. For I am Adam, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. But each one in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterwards those who are Christ at his coming. We need something. We'll skip a little bit. The first man was on earth, verse 47, made of dust, and the second man, the Lord from heaven. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are made of dust, and as in the heavenly man, so also are those who are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the most of dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. What image do you have? What image do you have during the Christmas season? Is it just for those few weeks? Or is it every day? If I preach to you and Christ wasn't risen, it'd be in vain. But let me tell you something. Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father making intercession for you and I. Every day, not just during Christmas season, but every day he's making intercession for you and I. So the question I want to ask you, if the greatest gift is love, why can we not show God how much we really love him? Is your love for God more than the love of the things of the world? I don't mean to be preaching harsh to you. I'm bringing truth to you. It's a realization that I had to come to. Is the things in this world more important to me than God the Father, Christ the Savior? My answer would be no, the things of the world are not more important. I may be in this world, but John told me to be separate from this world. He said, be separate. I'm not supposed to be part of this world, even though I live in it. Well, you know what? I may stand out in a crowd. But the reason I'm going to stand out in a crowd is because I hope they see Jesus in me. That's what I want this Christmas season. Jerry, you're right. When you check out somewhere and you see somebody's name, tell them Merry Christmas. Tell them God loves them. Because you know what? They can't stop you when you say that. They may be an atheist. They may need to hear that one word, that God loves you. They may be going through the hardest time of their life during one of the hardest seasons. You know, because we in the carnal, Christmas takes on a whole different meaning sometimes, that we go out and spend more money than we should. Money we don't budget for. Because we want to impress somebody with a gift. Let me share something with you. Jesus was the gift that was given to us, not put under the tree, but on the tree. And every time that you pull a gift out from under that tree, think about that tree and the tree that Jesus was hung on for you and I. Because that's what Christmas is truly about. It's about the love that God has for you. It's about us being obedient to the Father. It's about us listening not only with our ears and our mind, but with our hearts. Because the Word talks about how God knows the heart. He knows the inner being. And that's what the heart is the inner being. And He says, who knows it best? God knows it best. So if there's something today that you're struggling with, let me know. Let me know so I can pray with you so that God can make it right. Because He says when two or more are gathered in His name, they come together and they ask, and it shall be done. Ask, and it shall be given. And why do we toil so much and fight the Spirit of God? When God tells us to do something, we ought to just go on and do it. But we got to figure it out our own way. When it's all right here in front of us, it's all right here. Every word that God says is right here. Talk about a road map. Man, this is a road map that you can't get lost in. You can't get lost because you know what? Even if you make the wrong turn, it's like the new GPS's in them cars. It'll start calculating a brand new direction for you. But let me tell you, there ain't but one direction, and that's Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. So next time, when you tell somebody Merry Christmas, think about Christ. Okay? Master and Savior. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. I wish from my heart to each and every person that can hear my voice right now, I hope this is the best Christmas you've ever had on this earth. Because you know what? It will be the best Christmas I've ever had because I understand now the true meaning of Christmas. Amen. Thank you.
Well, we have had two unique Christmas messages. Last week, Gary shared concerning the angels' perspective.